Yo, yo, what's happening, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Halloween. Yes, it is me, one of your hosts, Jonathan, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie McLean.
Hello again there.
So yeah, this is the 31st and final episode of the Cult Film Cafe Does Halloween series. And on this episode, the plan is to try and work out a top 10 of the 30 films that we've reviewed over this month. So yeah, this one's a bit of a different episode. We're not obviously going to be reviewing a film, but we're hopefully going to come harmoniously together and potentially create what we think is the top 10 out of the 30 films we've watched. This could be a little argumentative because there is a bit of a difference in some of the films than what we've given it. But yeah, it should be interesting, and hopefully by the end of it, we will have cemented a top 10 based on this year's Halloween film watching. But before we dive into that, I believe Kenzie's got a fun fact to begin the podcast.
So, the other day, my friend Jeet had sent me something on Instagram, and it's a post from Lad Bible, and what it is, and this is what the caption was for the post, it was, "Fancy jumping out your skin this Halloween weekend? Swipe through for the scariest horror movies of all time according to the number of jump scares." And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It has 10 films listed. it tells you the numbers of each one. So I always just go through a couple of them because we've actually saw them on the podcast and I thought it was kind of interesting to talk about. So I'll let you try and guess this first one, the lowest of the on this list. This film we've done on the podcast, it came out in 2012. It's a film we quite like.
Is it Sinister?
It is. Sinister apparently has 17 jump scares in the whole film.
I fucking violently disagree with that, because I wouldn't call anything other than a couple of things jump scares in that film.
Yeah, I know, it's quite a weird list, but I'll quite like to go for a couple other ones. Don't Breathe also has 17, which is a film we didn't do. Scream 4 apparently 18. Scream 1, 19 apparently. I don't know where they're getting this from. It seems like a lot more than I really remember, but apparently that's how it is. They have the 2013 remake of Evil Dead at 20 jump scares. They have the original Evil Dead at 22 jump scares. The remake of Friday the 13th at 23. Drag Me to Hell, which I think was a Sam Raimi film in 2009, that's at 23. The new It film at 23. And the film with the most jump scares, according to this, is another film we covered on our list. If you had to guess, what would you choose from anything on the list?
What, it has the most jump scares?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, it's going to, this better not be Paranormal Activity.
It is not.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. My second guess would be either, I'll give you another two and then if I'm wrong, I would go with Insidious.
That is right, yeah, that is it.
All right, okay.
It is Insidious with apparently 24 jump scares. So that's interesting.
I can understand why people think there's 24 jump scares, but then what do you classify as a jump scare? Is it a tonal shift in music? Does there have to be an element on the screen? I don't know. Like, is it a quick camera movement? Does that predicate a jump scare? I really don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that list, but whoever came up with that metric, good on you. You've done a good job, but I disagree.
I feel like Insidious is probably high up on the jump scare level, but I don't know if it had 24. It seems like an awful lot, and yeah, I agree with Jonathan. It's probably something like, it probably counts like the title intro going as a jump scare, but it's literally just the title intro, you know what I mean? It's a loud film, but so are a lot of James Wan films, but yeah. I thought it was a little interesting thing to look at before we got into the meat of this podcast, so yeah.
Yeah, but I just think 24 jump scares in a film which is, what, an hour and 40 minutes long?
Yeah.
That's a lot of jump scares. That's like one every, like, five minutes.
I think what I'm going to do, next time I watch the film, I'm going to count myself.
Every 3 minutes probably is a jump scare.
Yeah. I think the next time I watch it, I'm going to tally up how many jump scares are in the film to see. Because I really want to know how they done this, and or if they just got it from somewhere online. but it's the Lad Bible, so I don't know. But yeah.
So, no idea. There we go. Nice we opened to the podcast talking about films with the most jump scares. We've covered a couple of them, as Kenzie's pointed out, but I don't see how there's that many jump scares. But then, yeah, maybe people get scared and jump at different things from me. So yeah, as we started off saying in the podcast that this is basically, we are going to try and definitively give you a top 10 out of the 30 films that we have spoke about this month. And if you've been listening along, thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been an absolute blast doing it, although quite difficult turnaround sometimes. Me and Kenzie do it. We do all the post-production, so it's not like we pay anybody else. There's nobody else involved. There's no magic happening. It's just us, and it's hard work, I suppose, is the correct answer. So before we jump on the podcast, we had to try and get a sense of films that were definitely out and films that were definitely in, just so we weren't trying to work everything out on the podcast. So we have came to the agreement that based on that sort of way of thinking, that there's 9 films that cannot make it at all and won't make it, regardless of if we changed or if we sort of looked at them. They're just not getting a bump high enough to even consider. So those films are Paranormal Activity, The Grudge, Friday the 13th, Hereditary, Event Horizon, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Omen, Smile, and Dawn of the Dead. So they're all out. We will be no longer talking about those films, just so you know, in case you're thinking we'll bring any of those up, and you might agree that some of them should be in a top 10, but we don't, sadly. And the 4 films that are definitely in and will not be dropping out of the top 10 are Halloween, Scream, The Black Phone, and The Thing. That's not in any particular order. We are going to work out 10 films that we think should be in a top 10, and then we'll try and work out where they go in the top 10. That is the plan for this episode. So I guess we should maybe go, where do you want to start? What film do you think? I think what we should do is we should start with Fresh, because I think both of us agree that we were rated that too highly on the recording, because I think we were just in a moment. And I was really in a Sebastian Stan loving moment, like fanboying over him. And now looking at it and looking at some of the other films, I feel as though I gave it slightly too high a rating.
I completely agree as well. I feel the same way. Although I do really like the film, and I do recommend anyone who's not seen it to watch it. We both gave it a 4, and I think for what it is, that's a bit high, because although there's a lot to enjoy about it, don't think it reaches this. I don't think it's a 4. I think if I was to go back and do that review again, I would knock it down to a 3.5. I think I just enjoyed talking about the film a lot, because I did actually quite enjoy it, but I don't think it's to the same standard as the other 4s on our list. So I would knock it down to about a 3.5. That's for me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm knocking it down to a 3.5 also, which, yeah, it doesn't give it that overall rating of 4 as an average. So yeah, and then let's talk about the other film, which has currently got an average of a 4. That's The Crow. I gave it a 4.5. Kenzie gave it a 3.5.
Yes,
so we're not a million miles apart. Do you want, are you happy to keep it in? I don't think I'm going to lower my rating. Even if I did, it would only come down to a 4, which would then bring it back into the conversation at some point later in the podcast anyway.
I'm happy to keep it in at the moment. We can discuss about where it will go on the list. I still feel for me that it's a 3.5, so I'm happy with my rating for that film.
And I'm also happy with my rating for the film, because it is something a bit different. I really like it. The lead performance is probably one of the best that we've had on this whole podcast for me. I think Brandon Lee's performance in that movie is absolutely spectacular. So there's a lot of great things in it. And obviously on the podcast where we discussed it, you know my negative towards the film. But my God, this has been a long-winded love affair. I never really liked this film when I was younger. My big sister was obsessed with it. And over time, I became more and more appreciative of the film. And it's actually a film that I really, really enjoy watching. So I'm glad to say that we have agreed to put it in the top 10. So yeah, so now that makes us five. So we've got five films done there. So yeah, this is going to be the hard part, because that leaves us with like 15 films or so to try and manoeuvre five in and leave 10 out. So this is where it goes. Do you want to go from lowest to highest, highest to lowest? Do you just want to pick a film and maybe discuss it and see if our opinions change and, you know, what we gave it initially?
I think we're probably best to go from lowest to highest, but I've got a little bit of a question. We've obviously got average ratings for all these films. Does the ones with the higher average ratings, they're going to be higher than the lower ones, right?
What do you mean?
Like we've got quite a few at 3.75. Will they have to be higher than the 3.5s?
But depending on if we decide to manoeuvre. Because I think some of these films are films that we've done maybe in the middle or early on.
Right.
So it really depends on...
So have we changed the rating and stuff like that, yeah?
Yeah, like how we feel about them.
All right, okay, yeah. So, well, in that case, I think it is the best to start lowest to highest.
So The Ring first, then?
Yeah. And this is an interesting one to start with, because I gave this film a 3.5?
Yes, gave it a 3.5.
But you gave it
I gave it a 2.5, so that's why it's a 3.
So it's a 3. At the moment, it's not making it, I don't think. I think it's quite a strong film. It'd be nice to see it get to the list, but I feel like there's other films that probably should make it to the film over it. I think if this ever made it to the list, it'd be high up in it. I think it'd be like a number 10. But that would be dependent on how if you would change your opinion on it, and I don't know if you will do that.
Well, look, like, so I'm quite happy to come back to The Ring, because there's films that I violently think shouldn't make it or even be in the conversation. The Ring's just the first one of the threes. I'll put it in yellow at the minute.
Right.
It's not a red and it's not a green. We can maybe venture back around to it. So The Exorcist, I think a lot of people might have this in their top 10 horror films of all time. We've only watched 30 this month, we haven't watched every horror film ever made. But I think this, for me, doesn't quite cut it. And although we both gave it a 3, I think there's other films that I would rather have in the top 10 over it. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I would probably have The Ring over The Exorcist.
Oh, definitely for me. Although I, like I said, Exorcist is an older film and we appreciate what it done to the genre, I just didn't enjoy it that much. I think it's a very slow film. It has very good moments. I think the last 20 minutes of the film are very strong, and I honestly think it's worth watching the film just for the last part of it. It's a film that people should all check out, because it's a huge horror film of its time, and it's still known to this day, so it's worth checking out. But yes, I don't really think it stands up anywhere near as well as it did at the time, so I just don't see it making the list for me.
So we agree on that. So that's now off the list. We have next The Shining.
I wasn't that into it, to be honest. I liked it, but both give it a 3. I feel like I still feel a bit around a bit there. It's a good film, but it's not like a... For me, it wasn't a great one. I know some people really like this film, but for me, I don't know, I was expecting more. This film's talked about a lot. I didn't find it very scary, or like even really tense. I found it kind of odd.
I think this is another one of these where we've, on the Hereditary podcast, kind of gave Ari Aster a hard time, and I'm not here to give film directors who are making movies and making loads of money a hard time. They're obviously doing everything right in their field of work. But I feel as though Stanley Kubrick was kind of that world before, you know, the kind of authorship of movies, and you know, and having that style over substance sometimes. And there's a lot of things about The Shining where Stephen King doesn't like this, doesn't think it's a true adaptation of the book, the TV movie or miniseries, I'm not quite sure what it is actually more faithful and has his back in. So yeah, it's a wonderfully made film, don't get me wrong, and it still looks fantastic to this day. But yeah, I think there's other films that I would probably argue for before I argued for The Shining.
Absolutely, I completely agree with that. It's just not there for me, and compared to any of the other films. So yeah, I don't think it's making it.
Right, there you have it. There's another one down. Now we get to a really, really contentious film.
Oh God.
We have Malignant. Problem we have with that is this is that if Kenzie was doing his own top 10, this would make it.
Absolutely.
I just really don't like this film. I really don't. And I don't really, like, I just don't like it. I don't know what else to say. I've said it all on the podcast about it. It's just, if we're putting James Wan films in the top 10, this isn't the one, or, you know, for me at all whatsoever.
Yeah. I would love to have Malignant in the top 10. In my top 10, it would be there, but I completely understand Jonathan's rating of it, which was, what was it again?
2.5.
Jesus. All right, no, that's, I think that's very fair. When we talked about this film, it's a Marmite film. It's a love it or hate it, really. Or not exactly hate it, but just not be that keen on it. Because I don't think anyone hates it that much. I just think they all think it's not that good. And that's the kind of film it is. It's a really weird film, paying homage to like different genres in the same film, doing kind of Spanish horror and stuff like that. So it ends up being a weird film that's not like a great film. It can be like, for some people, for me, I find it really enjoyable. There's a lot of things I like the film. I think the film is really good in this film as well. So another top thing for this film, Jonathan disagreed with me and didn't think it was as strong as his other James Wan's other films, even in the filming aspect, and I think that's interesting. But story-wise, in the actual film itself, it's really goofy, it's really wacky, it's out there. It's one of those films that's probably going to become a cult film in time. It's one of those. It's like really fun, really enjoyable film, but it's not, you can't really hold it to like the other films, even James Wan's other films, because they're made up a kind of much higher standard in a way, because they were made to be proper kind of good, really good horror films, where this one, he was like paying homage to like certain genres and like just having fun, really, and made a fun that some people were actually really enjoy, but other people were like, yeah, this is not very good. So it shouldn't make it to the, sadly, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it shouldn't make it to the top 10, I feel like, sadly.
I think James Wan's horror films are better when he's got a lower budget and he's forced to not rely on things like over the top visual and special effects. That's my, and you know, I think Saw, Insidious and The Conjuring are films that I think are much, much better than Malignant. I mean, Malignant had a $40 million budget, and that's probably why there's the use of CGI quite a lot, and things that I think they could have shot practically and would have made it look better. But that is my opinion. So yeah, I am going to stand firm, and yeah, this one's not making it. So moving on, we have A Nightmare on Elm Street, which is funny because we both thought it was the sort of second best of the slasher films, and actually both really liked the film. So I'm not really sure where this should go. This is a weird one.
I actually really like this film. Although, as I said, I still think Halloween, and I think Jonathan agreed as well, that Halloween is still quite above it. But I think this film's really enjoyable and had a good concept and was quite very unique for its time, and changed the slasher game quite a bit with a really insane concept. I quite like it. I think it could make it into the...
Yeah, I've already put it. I've already put it as yellow. I will double back round to this. I want to discuss this more. I want to see if there's films that's definitely not making it. The next one on the list is Ready or Not. It's a red that's not making it.
You really?
Yeah.
I actually really like the film, and if you've not seen Ready or Not, I'd give it a watch. It is a fun comedy horror to watch. Really enjoyed it.
It's a fun comedy horror, and in that vein, I'm just going to do the same for Fresh. It's not making it either.
Fair enough.
I think it's unfair. They're both black comedy horror films, and I like Fresh more than Ready or Not. You like Ready or Not more than Fresh, and I think if we just agree to disagree and just totally
take both of them out,
that's fair.
I get that. Maybe they shouldn't be included with the rest of these ones because they are quite different.
Yeah, they're in their own sort of wee kind of Venn diagram of horror, comedy, and whatever the third one would be. I don't know. But they would be in the middle of that. So now we're getting more and more to the meat. We've got some films that, you know, how about we take Change Tack and we talk about a film that we both probably agree should make the list.
Okay.
Insidious.
Definitely. This is one of my favourite horror films, if not my favourite. It's my favourite one film by far. Malignant's my favourite, but this is what I would deem the best one film. I really enjoy the film. I would have it really high up in this list, but we'll see where everything goes first. So yeah, I think it's a definite make. If you've not seen Insidious yet, I don't know how you've not, please watch it. I think it's a really good horror film, and it's the best. I think it's the best of modern horror.
Right, is there a world where any of the sort of family friendly ones are getting in? So Ghostbusters, Corpse Bride, and Beetlejuice.
Right, this is kind of interesting.
Because if we have to put one in, then, you know, we'll discuss all three now.
See, the thing is I gave Ghostbusters a 4, is that correct?
Yep.
I feel like it's slightly high. I feel like I probably would have came more down to a 3.5 for Ghostbusters. I do really like Ghostbusters. I think it's a very fun and enjoyable film. And it is one of the quintessential Halloween films to watch. But I also feel like Beetlejuice is another one of those films that's kind of quintessential to watch at Halloween. I really, really like The Corpse Bride, but I don't know if it's as Halloween-y as the other two. Kind of, I guess.
It does work in this sort of month of watching. Yeah, it is a film that does fit the bill. It's just, I'm not really high on animation as much as Kenzie is. I gave The Corpse Bride a 3. I gave Ghostbusters a 3. But I gave Beetlejuice a 4. You gave Beetlejuice a 3.5.
Yes.
You gave Corpse Bride a 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave... What's the other one we're talking about?
Ghostbusters.
You gave that a 4, but you're talking about that coming to a 3.5.
Yeah.
So if you're bringing your rating down, I'm happy with my 3 for Ghostbusters. That means that Ghostbusters is out, sadly, though.
I think that's fair. Like, it's a good film to watch, but it probably wouldn't have made it into my top 10 anyway. It's not one I would really think about.
It was the first film
we'd
done, I think, was it not?
Yeah, it was.
So... watching, that's the thing, when you do film 1 out of 30, you know, you kind of look back in it like we're doing now and going, oh, is it as good as we thought it was? And Kenzie's already bringing his down. I'm happy with a 3. I think it's a good film. It's just not quite for me, but it's still a really enjoyable film, and you know, it's a bit of family friendly fun for this holiday season. So yeah, so that leaves us Corpse Bride and Beetlejuice. They've both got the same average rating. Kenzie's really high on Corpse Bride. I'm at a 4.5. I'm a 3. I'm a 4 for Beetlejuice. Ken's a 3.5. We're much closer in terms of that film.
That's true. I think this is a really hard one because I actually genuinely think that Corpse Bride probably should, for me, would be in my top 10 definitely. I just love the film. But I also do really like Beetlejuice. These are the two Burton films fighting each other. It's kind of funny.
Right, we'll come back to that.
You think we'll come back to it? Okay,
we'll come back to that because we've currently got 6 films in, so we've only got 4 spots and we've got a couple that we've put as amber already. Right, we've already got a one in and we've already got a Derrickson. We've got Sinister on the Derrickson side still to go, and we've also got Saw and The Conjuring. do we need more films from these directors in the list? Or should we just be like, no, if we're doing a top 10, they only get one spot each?
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Because then it opens the pool. Because, I mean, I really like Sinister and I really like Conjuring. But if they both go in, then there's less spaces for any other films to go in.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have The Conjuring over Insidious, but I actually, now looking back at Insidious, I actually quite like it. So they're not a million miles away, and they're possibly, I would increase my Insidious rating by a half and put The Conjuring and Insidious on the same level. They're different films.
It's a preference, really, isn't it?
It's a preference. So I think we've done them sort of together, and I think stark contrast when you watch films kind of back to back like that, you pick a favourite as a knee-jerk reaction. But now thinking about it more, I actually really liked Insidious. There's a lot of good things I like about it, and you really like it. So yeah, I'm quite happy to concede that Insidious goes in.
Yeah, I don't know, I feel like kind of bad for retconning and Sinister and Conjuring, because they are two really good films. I would maybe still have them in. I don't know about you. Or at least one of them. Because I still think there's two of the films that you should probably go and watch and see if you haven't seen. And compare it to some of the other ones that we're thinking of maybe having in, I would probably have it over most of them.
Right, so would you take Saw out of the equation then?
This is what I was thinking.
Right, okay.
I would probably take... I think Conjuring's probably... I gave Saw a 4, and I still think, for me, it is a 4. I enjoy Saw more than Conjuring, but I feel like Conjuring probably is the better film. So, yeah, I would probably take Saw out and keep Conjuring in.
It's in the discussion still. Right, okay.
Okay.
So, we'll circle back to those two. I think that's really difficult, man. The Wan Derrickson chat's really weird, because I feel as though I'm a Scott Derrickson fan, you're a Wan fan, and yeah, that's a difficult one. There's a film left that we've not discussed that I want in the top 10. I think you know which one out of these two it is.
Yes. Are you happy to
put it in?
Yeah, I'm happy for you to put it in. I quite like it as well. Not as much. I preferred The Ring over It Follows, but I will say that there's a lot of things probably made better about It Follows than The Ring. So yeah, I'm happy to have it in where it is. Is that a 3.75 average rating? So yeah. I think it can fit in there fine. If we're going by average ratings as well, it fits perfectly. So yeah, I think It Follows makes it in, and I think a lot of people, just outside of just us two, I think people really like It Follows. Most people that I've spoke to about the film all really like the film, so yeah, I think it's fair to keep it in.
Not only that, I think this is the film that was the biggest surprise package for me.
Yeah.
I think it's the film that I had the least expectations about. I was going in just totally open-minded, and I loved it. I loved a lot of it. It's hard to pick flaws in the film because it is so cool. And not only that, when we ended up going and speaking about Smile, which is obviously the newest release, we spent a lot of time saying how Smile actually is like a mishmash of like It Follows and The Ring and all these different things. And I just think that It Follows gets that part of the film better, and it's way more original. So for me, it really deserves its place in the top 10. So that leaves us with The Cabin in the Woods. This is a film that I've loved since it came out, but this one could also really be argued that it's its own kind of thing as well.
Yeah.
Because it is quite funny. I wouldn't necessarily call it a black comedy horror, but it's pushing that limit closer than a lot of these other films that we've spoke about.
This film just takes horror, all the horror concepts and cliches, and just spins them on their head and takes a look at them, really. And it's really cool how they do it. They do it in this really unique way of having it, so it's like almost controlled by people. And it, So it's got all these different things that they could use from. It's pretty much all the things they can use is like different horror, like things from other horror films and stuff like that. It's a very good film. I didn't like it as much as you did. I think you gave it a 4. I think I was a 3.5. So don't think it's quite there. But I do think it's a very enjoyable film. Does it make it in?
We're not a million miles away in rating. That's the thing. It's like it's a half mark. It's, you know, there's some of these films that we're much wider on, but you know, and there's some of these films that we agree on. My only issue is if we decided to put it in, there would only be 2 spots left.
I think there's films that we've put in yellow that I would have over Cabin in the Woods. That's what I will say right now. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel.
Cabin in the Woods would make it into my personal top 10 because I just like the kind of idea of it, and it's kind of got that sort of sci-fi kind of twist, and it's a bit different, and you know, it is a bit funny. You've got Richard Jenkins as the sort of worker in the underground sort of evil lair part, and you know, the cameo from Sigourney Weaver, and you know, there's all that kind of woven in stuff. I really, really like it. I think it's really, really cool, and I really like Drew Goddard, so I'm maybe biased in that way, but you know, I'm quite happy to supersede it in terms of this list, because there is a number of films that I've got the same average rating, and yeah, I would maybe on this occasion drop this one out if, you know, if Kenzie feels that strongly that it shouldn't be there. Right.
Wait, so, hold on. I'm looking at the other 3.75s and I'm thinking about it. And I'm starting to think that Corpse Bride is not going to make it.
Right.
I feel like...
I'm happy with that.
I'm starting to feel like I would probably have... Because I'm now thinking, and I do quite like Cabin in the Woods. I quite like a lot about it. I might have Cabin in the Woods... I would preferably maybe have Cabin in the Woods over Corpse Bride, Beetlejuice, and probably Sinister. I do really like Sinister. I just, there's a lot of things that bothers me with Sinister that Cabin in the Woods does not have. For Cabin in the Woods, I just like. There's nothing really I find that wrong about it. I don't think it's as good as some of the other films, but I think it's just very strong. So
yeah.
Whereas I have quite a few criticisms about Sinister. So that's another thing. What do you think?
I like all the films. Like the only film that I've got ranked lower than a 4 is The Corpse Bride. Cabin in the Woods, Beetlejuice, Sinister and The Conjuring are all 4s for me, personally.
Right. This is difficult. Do you know what? I think we're being very mean against Cabin in the Woods. I think we should have Cabin in the Woods in there. What do you think?
I agree. Let's put it in. I'm happy to put it back in. That's fine. So we've got eight films in.
Yeah.
We have 5 films remaining. 2 spots left.
Oh, fuck me. We've got 2 spots, and the 5 films we've got is Beetlejuice, Sinister, The Conjuring, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and The Ring.
I want to take Nightmare on Elm Street out. We've already got 2 slashers in, which we both think are way, way better. So,
you know, I actually agree with that. I do really enjoy Nightmare on Elm Street. I quite like Wes Craven. I should probably check out more of his horror films. But I think we've already got the quintessential Wes Craven horror film in the list, so yeah.
Yeah, and I know things like, so Nightmare on Elm Street is really, really highly rated, but me and Kenzie enjoyed Scream a lot more, and yeah, I think it's actually a better watch. But you know, there is elements of A Nightmare on Elm Street that people will probably love and be like, "Yous are wrong." But then again, this is our opinions. So yeah, and that's what makes people individual, is their own opinions of things. So we've now narrowed it down to 4 with 2 spots remaining.
Oh boy, starting to get tough. Right, you know my feeling on Beetlejuice. I would probably have the other 3 above that, but I know you're going to be like, oh.
I'm quite happy to supersede that.
Do you think so?
Yep.
Like,
Beetlejuice is out. No, that means that no family-friendly films have made it, and I'm happy with that, because it's a real tough one, you know. You're a real Corpse Bride fan. I prefer Beetlejuice. So is it fair to say that both of them just don't make it? They're on the outside looking in. They're really, really close, but it's quite difficult to make a top 10, obviously. So we're now left with three. The problem that I've got here is there's an outlier in terms of average rating.
Yeah, and that is The Ring.
I think we just do the right thing here. We need to, if we do another Halloween special next year, we need to watch Ringu, the original.
Yeah, so I agree with that completely.
And that could potentially, you know, the more and more times we do this, the more and more times we can retroactively look at top tens and be like, oh, what would we take out, what would we take in? This is the first time we've done it, so this is something that's possibly going to go on for a number of years. So that's fair. The Ring's out, so that means it's Sinister and The Conjuring, which I think's fair. Both make it.
Right, okay. My next question is this top 10 going in like any order, or is it like... sorry, my Alexa's going off again. Alexa, stop. Yeah,
what
sorry.
Do you mean is the top 10 going in any order?
So it's the top 10, so I'm guessing it's from best, so like the best is number one, of course, right?
Obviously.
So the question is, some things have the same average rating. The question is, what should go above what?
This is where we've got to. So, are you happy with this? I mean, are you happy that Conjuring's in over Saw?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I probably prefer Saw, but do you know what? I think Conjuring is better made. I think probably more people enjoy that over Saw. So yeah, I will accept that.
Right, so we have narrowed 30 down to 10. So the 10 are in no particular order: The Conjuring, Sinister, The Cabin in the Woods, Insidious, It Follows, The Crow, Halloween, Scream, The Black Phone, and The Thing. So now comes the tricky part. We need to put them in 10 to 1, ranking least to best.
Okay.
Or worst to best. Not even worst. It's just in an order. They're all really good films. It's just what order do they go in?
I feel I know what I would want as number 10.
And I think I know what you want as number 10.
Do you want to take a guess?
I have a funny feeling that you want The Crow as number 10.
Oh,
no.
No, actually, no.
Cabin in the Woods?
Nope.
Sinister?
I think Sinister should be number 10.
I'm happy that it's at the party. So
I'm happy it's here as well. I actually do really like this film. There's a lot. I love these horror thrillers that are, they got this huge mystery to it. And Sinister is right up that alley. Like I said, I think it just falls apart at the end. But even still, if it's kind of fall apart for me at the end, I think it's still such a strong film.
It's a good film. But really, really good film.
Because of that, I would have it probably at the 10. Because of the fact I have issues with it.
Right, okay. I'm okay with that. I'm glad that it made it. So, like I said, I'm glad that Sinister made it. So, if that's at 10, where do we go 9?
I think... All right. Well, no, I'll let you go first this time. What would you have at 9?
I would have... Oh, that's tough. I think The Cabin in the Woods scraped it in, so it made it. Possibly that.
That's what I would say, to be honest. I agree with that. I would probably have Cabin in the Woods at 9.
Right, okay. So we're actually starting to agree. So Cabin in the Woods at 9.
This is where it gets harder.
Right. No, it doesn't get harder. We need to make an agreement. Insidious or Conjuring, what is the better Wan film?
I still believe that it is Insidious. I like The Conjuring a lot.
Right.
I just think Insidious was a much more unique film and had a really cool concept with astral projection and The Furler. I think The Furler, even how it's filmed,
yeah, I like it.
It's just fantastic. So I would have Insidious over Conjuring.
Right. So here we are. 7 films left. So I think this is probably where we slot The Crow in.
You think so? Yeah, do you know what? Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm really strong in it. You're not so strong. I think it's made it in the top 10, which I'm happy about. And, you know, it's made its way up the list a wee bit. It is something different. If you're looking for something that's a bit different this Halloween, or in future Halloweens, or just in future to watch a real cult classic, in my opinion, yeah, it's definitely worth a watch, and I think it is a real strong film, and it's its own kind of unique, weird thing. And if anything, the takeaway is it's sad that we lost an absolute powerhouse of an actor that was just making waves in the movie industry, and it's sad that it's a sad loss, but I'm glad it's made it, and he would have been fabulous, and yeah, I could have just imagined him in so many more roles. I'm pretty sure he was in talks to potentially be Neo in the Matrix and stuff like that, which, to be honest with you, I can see.
Yeah,
I love Keanu Reeves, and I think he was fantastic in it, but yeah, it just goes to show you just the sort of presence that he had, even for the brief time that he was on screen in some films. And yeah, the Crow is definitely his best performance, and it's spectacular, and it's really, really good. So yeah, I'm glad it's there, but I'm happy to put it there. I think from here we have to have the discussion of which slasher is going at number 6.
What slasher? Do you think it's a slasher next?
I think so.
Number 6.
Well, you would maybe put It Follows here.
See, that's what I mean. That's what I was thinking, but maybe...
I was thinking about putting It Follows at 5. Just because it's how... I mean, it's not, I'll say original. How unique it is. There's just something about it that I feel as though I'm quite happy to say that it's not going to be number one, but I would like it something like this. I mean, I think if I was doing it, I might have Insidious next, but I'm quite happy to put Insidious in the top 5.
Yeah, I would definitely have it in the top 5. So if I was to choose a slasher to not make it into the top 5. I think you know what I'm going to choose. And I know it's rough. I know, I get it. It's rough, but I wasn't too sure if I was going to give Halloween the 4. I eventually did and think it did deserve it. But comparing that with Scream was an easy 4 for me. I
think it's based on how the thing about Scream is it's a bit different. It's a bit newer. I know it's still a slasher and it's got all the slasher tropes. It's quite different. And I think when you look at these older ones, they all kind of followed the same mold, kind of. So that, I think that's why Scream kind of caught us. And I like Scream, don't get me wrong. I gave it a 4 as well. I just think Halloween's, is it slightly better for me? But you know what? If I'm able to get It Follows above it, I'll concede Halloween.
I really do like Halloween, but I just, when I wasn't expecting much from Scream, and I was like, wow, that was like way better than I actually thought. I loved it. I thought it was so good. It was a meta film done correctly, and that very rarely happens.
No, I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my mind.
Well, you change it out? Really? Yeah, oh, that's fair. I mean, I would probably have Halloween above It Follows anyway, so...
But then if that's we do fair. That, then I'm not... These are separated by such a minuscule amount for me that's where it
goes. It's getting, like, really close.
And I think we all know that... Right, so Insidious will be 3 then.
Yes, let's go.
This is the tough one, though. Is it tough or is it really
easy?
No,
I think it's really fair. I think this is easy.
You think so?
I'm really happy these... both made it to the top 2 because I think they are the strong. I genuinely, from the moment I watched them, I thought these were the strongest films, and
so
I'm really happy to have them.
That's the order.
I think I'm happy with that order. If you're happy with that order,
would you reverse it though if it was your list?
Like what? The top 2?
Yeah.
No.
Right. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I would not.
So yeah, we've done it, ladies and gentlemen. The top 2 are The Black Phone and The Thing. Obviously, if you've been listening along. They are probably the 2 that we were most close on in terms of how strong they were when we were watching them. I think The Thing is massively, massively underrated based on the fact that we've put it number 1 on this list. And if there's a film that you haven't seen that we've spoke about on the podcast to watch, it's 100% that film. If you're only going to watch one film this Halloween... watch The Thing, and you know it is 40 years old, I think, this year. I think so. 1982 it came out, I think.
Yeah, that would be right then.
So 40 years old, but the concept and the way it plays on the human psyche and the paranoia and the way it sort of tricks the mind is still fascinating. And I know that there's loads of films that probably tried to copy this or have tried to put that element into their film, but this film just done it way better than anything else I can think of right now. And not only that, it's got a couple of fantastic performances, but Kurt Russell is phenomenal in this film. And yeah, I have a soft spot for Kurt Russell, so I'm quite glad that it's number one. And I think he is really good in this film. And yeah, it's quite surprising that the John Carpenter film that people might have number one is not number one. But it's but it's our list, and we agree, and we both gave. This is the only film that me and Kenzie agreed on rating that's this high as a 4.5. Nothing got to a 5, obviously, but yeah, strong 4.5. And obviously The Black Phone, really, really good film, came out this year. Scott Derrickson, glad he dropped out of Doctor Strange and done something that he was really passionate about, because it shows on screen. And yes, that also has some phenomenal performances in it, particularly Mr. Ethan Hawke. Me and Kenzie are both a fan of his, but strong, strong performances from the young actors in that. So the young blood coming through strong in that film, and they were really, really, really good. And it's a real cool, cool idea. And obviously the short story that it's based on is really, really clever. And it's transferred over into the screen as actually quite a unique and interesting little sort of horror movie. So yeah, that is us. I think we have crowned the top 10.
I'm very happy with this top 10. Those top two especially, both films blew me away, and I absolutely love the thing. Like, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I thought it might be good because I've heard it's kind of cult kind of film and seemed to be very good, but it was way better than I expected it to be. And I love the whole how the film works. So it's just like it's like people, like the best comparison, like I said at the time before, it's like a movie of Among Us. If you've ever played like the game Among Us, please watch the thing, you'll love it, because it's the same thing. It's like who's the imposter. It's great, and it's done so well. I absolutely loved it, and it, after watching it, I was like, easily the strongest. I really did like it. And with The Black Phone, I was just hoping that Scott Derrickson would have improved from Insidious, and I was really hoping that he would.
You mean Sinister?
That's my
James
bad.
Wan is Insidious, mate.
And I've got James Wan in the brain, apologies. But yeah, I was really praying that he had improved from Sinister, and I'm so happy he really has. I think he's improved tremendously. I just think this film's so good. I loved it. It's even strong. I thought it was going to be good, but it's even better than I thought it would be. I know probably a lot of people might have missed this one because it just came out this year. Please watch it. It's so good. It's not the scariest, although it's got a very fucking good jump scare in it that got me and Jonathan, by the way. That's the only film that got both of us.
Yeah.
So good, that's great. And it was a really good one. And for Scott Derrickson struggling with he had criticisms in his previous film, Sinister. Well, it was not a previous film, but like when he done Sinister, about cheap jump scares, and even I criticised certain ones. This does not have that issue at all. I think the story was really strong, and just it was simple, but performed almost not flawlessly. I wouldn't say flawlessly, but it was performed that good. Like, yeah, strong acting, strong film. Please watch that, and also watch this thing if you haven't seen that as well, because that's also amazing.
I think the jump scare in The Black Phone is really weird, because it's not like a scary, scary jump scare. It's just a really good jump scare.
It's just like, fuck me, I just shot it. Whoa, yeah, what the fuck?
It's set up. It's not even set up, that's the problem. It's like,
yeah, it's not.
The thing about jump scares is you can normally tell when they're going to happen. And that's maybe why we've criticised the Lad Bible list at the start. Because if you're watching these films, there's like key changes in music, or, you know, you can start to see the actor being a bit shifty, you know, and you're just expecting it to happen. Whereas this one, there was, for us, there was really no setup at all. We were just watching the film and going along with it, and boom, it just happened. And yeah, really, really good film. And actually, what Kenzie said about Sinister and the fact the whole jump scare at the end, the cheap jump scare, and the end of the film is a bit soft because the whole narrative doesn't necessarily fall in itself, but it's just like it's a repeat, isn't it? And that's what you expect. Yeah. It's how it just goes in a cycle. Whereas actually with this one, you get quite a nice payoff.
A really good payoff.
And it's actually it's gratification at the end of the film. And, you know, and yeah, it's a real, real enjoyable watch. And I'm glad that it is up high on this list.
It's like you get rewarded for watching the film, because like all the things that happened in the film suddenly come into play at the end in a way you just wouldn't have expected it. It's brilliant.
So yeah.
So good. But yeah.
That is us. The top 10 is set. So this is it. And 10, we have Scott Derrickson's Sinister. And 9, we have Drew Goddard's The Cabin in the Woods. At 8, we have James Wan's The Conjuring. At 7, we have Alex Proyas's The Crow. At 6, we have David Robert Mitchell's It Follows. Then at 5, is that 5? Yeah, 5, we have John Carpenter's Halloween. At 4, we have Wes Craven's Scream. At 3, we have James Wan's Insidious. At 2, we have Scott Derrickson's The Black Phone. And at number 1, we have John Carpenter's The Thing. I think me and Kenzie are really happy with that list. And
absolutely.
I think there's a good mix of different styles of films in there. You've got your supernatural, you've got your kind of slashers, you've got a superhero movie, you've got The Cabin in the Woods, which is kind of not quite a meta film, but it's like a homage. And it's got its own unique element as well, which is really cool. And yeah, it's a real, real good mix of films. And then The Thing with its own sort of creature featureness as well, a la like an Alien, that sort of sci-fi element as well. So it's a nice rounded off list. There's something for everybody. And I'm really, really happy with it. And I'm pleased we harmoniously came to it, and I think we both agree that the list is actually really strong. I think, like me, you're probably excited to for next year and see another 30 films. How many would maybe knock these films out?
Yeah, absolutely.
But interesting to see.
My main question for the moment is: we have our top 10. What were like the 3 worst? Do you think out of the films we watched?
Oh, the 3 worst.
Yeah.
So, me personally?
Yeah, just you personally.
The Grudge, Event Horizon, and Paranormal Activity. I gave all those films a 1, so.
Well, I think I will agree with you. I think Paranormal Activity is the worst that we have watched. And I stand by that. I hate that film. I'm trying to remember. Did I give any other ones?
No.
I can't really remember.
You gave 4 1.5s.
Yeah, I would probably say that it would be Paranormal Activity. I would have Hereditary there because I really don't like it. But it'd probably be the 3 of the 2 instead of the 2. And the other 1.5... What was the other 1.5 I gave?
So you've got The Grudge, you've got Friday the 13th, you've got Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I would put Texas Chainsaw Massacre in there.
Ooh, so that's a weird...
No, actually, let me change that. I would have it Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hereditary, Paranormal Activity. I think they were the 3 worst for me.
Fair, and if I'm ordering it, Paranormal Activity is the worst.
Yeah, I think we can both agree on that.
Think second worst is Event Horizon. I really don't like the film, and I know Kenzie's got a difference of opinion. I really don't like it. And The Grudge, yeah, I mean, I just don't really like it. But, you know, when we visit some of these Japanese originals next year, maybe that will be far, far better than that one. And it probably is. So, yeah, I think that is it for Cult Film Cafe Does Halloween this year. It's been an absolute blast.
Oh, I've loved it. It's so good because we've got to like look at so many different Like, I didn't really get into, like, we done a lot of horror, and we didn't just do horror films, we done a lot of horror films, and I didn't really get into horror films until, like, a couple of years ago. I didn't really care for the thing, I wasn't really into getting jump scared and stuff like that. But, like, after, like, watching through, like, so many, I've got this, I actually got a lot of respect for this genre, because it's so different from every other genre, I feel like. I think the way a horror film is structured is different from any other way a film is structured, and I think it's so interesting. And I hope Jonathan was not really a big fan of horror either, but I'm hoping that from watching quite a lot, he's now seen that there's some good things to horror films that are really enjoyable and make me like the genre a lot more.
Oh, definitely. Like, I've had my eyes opened, and I've given quite a lot of fours this sort of run of films, which I'm really surprised at, and even some 3.5s and 3s, you know. I think if a horror film's getting a 3 from me, it's probably like a 3.5 or a 4 for fans of the genre. Obviously, it's not my favourite genre, but no, there's some spectacular films and filmmakers in this sphere. And I'll also stand by what I've said in other podcasts, that I'm glad that this genre is thriving, because it's given young creatives or people that are got original concept ideas and in to do films that are more original than what you might see in other genre, and that's always great, specifically for somebody like me who would love to make films in the future. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if I venture into this genre to try and get my footprint out there. So yeah, it's been really, really interesting, and yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. But got some news for all yous listeners to the podcast. If you've been enjoying this series, thank you for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. We have a little surprise. We are changing a bit of pace as December's rolling around. So we thought, why not put ourselves under some more punishment of trying to do daily uploads in December on Christmas films. So it's going to be quite a shift in terms of what we're watching. But I'm looking forward to it really, really much. So I hope everybody else is excited for the Christmas film watching. I know Kenzie is a little bit as well. I think this is more his speed. Yeah, but no, we can't do horror films in December, so we're doing Christmas films. And in the meantime, in November, we'll have a couple of regular podcasts up, the long format, the main series that we do, and we'll have a couple of little tidbits and surprises from past episodes that we've kept, and we'll release them over that month as well. And then, yeah, when December rolls around in a few weeks' time, we will be back on the grind with daily uploads for yous. And we've already got our list of Christmas films set, but if you're listening to this and you go, oh, I'd like you to watch that Christmas film, drop us a little message on one of the posts that go out in the next couple of days, and we'll have a chat and see if it makes it, and if we can bump something else out. So yeah, that's been an absolute pleasure. How do you feel about the upcoming Christmas special?
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I've not really felt Christmassy in quite a few years, and I want to kind of get the Christmas spirit back, you know what I'm saying? That'll be nice, get all jolly for Christmas.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of years for everybody.
Yeah.
So this is kind of going to be the first more normal Christmas we've had in a few years. So yeah, we will be with you regularly every day throughout December with daily uploads. And yeah, look out for the couple of episodes that drop in November of the main series. We won't tell you what those films are going to be and who the guests are going to be as of yet, but you will see on our social media, like we always do. We give you a little tidbit of information. And yet, once this episode's out, we will put up an Instagram post of the combined top 10. I'll even put mine and Kenzie's, because they'll be a bit different slightly. But yeah, the main top 10 is obviously us coming together, and it's the podcast top 10 that'll be out. And you can comment on that and let us know if you agree, disagree, what you would move out, what you would move in. That's totally up to you, and it's totally your opinion So yeah, it's been an absolute blast. And as always, if you'd like to check out past episodes, you know where to find us. You can just search for Cult Film Cafe and we will appear on any podcast streaming service. And we've got a unique Google search. So you could just Google search us and then it will take you to all our pages, social media, where you can find our podcast, etc. And if you'd like to email the podcast, you can do it. It's thecultfilmpodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, this is it. Episode 31. We have done 31 episodes in a row. It's been an absolute pleasure. But I'm glad to be taking a little bit of a break before December rolls around. So yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to go through that. I mean, no, it is fun. Like, don't get us wrong, it is fun. But it's also at the same time, it's a bit stressful because you're just like, fuck. Because we've got to start early. We did start early. We started in September and we've done quite good. We got the first half, we got out like really quick. And then we slowed down and then we went, fuck, we're going to have to pull it up. And we started pulling it up quite quickly. And then the last couple, we were only like a day behind when the actual episode was meant to come out. And so, yeah, it's
a tight turnaround for a couple of guys who just do everything, you know. And yeah, we do our best. And people have reached out to us and go, how do you get episodes out really quick? And the answer to that is a lot of late nights and early mornings and never sleeping and the work ethic and a drive to do it, because we like to do it and we like to see people listening. And it's really good that people are listening, you know, even if the audience isn't as big as other podcasts out there, there is still people listening and we love to see that. So thank you, we appreciate it, and we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we will keep doing them until nobody listens anymore. And even still, we might do it anyway because we like talking about movies. So yeah.
Yes.
It is a goodbye from me.
And it is a goodbye from me. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Podcast out.